then we'll bring Joe in. You look at Vanderbilt's classes over the past, you know, two or three years. Well, obviously the finished product is a little bit better than at first advertised coming in on the front end, because a lot of these guys weren't as heralded. So yeah, it's a very subjective thing, and you know, Rivals does it because, you know, obviously they're trying to find a way to keep score here. But I thought it was an interesting comment.
There's obviously a market for it, guys. I mean, people are interested in it. They follow it year round, and so I guess there's really no big problem with that. I do agree that most of the time it's a whole lot easier to evaluate a recruiting class a couple of years after they've been signed, so you can start to get an idea of what the talent level really was. And so much of it is not only subjective, but you may have a five-star athlete, so-called five-star athlete, that doesn't necessarily fit your system, whatever your system is, and so they don't flourish in that particular style. They're going to go somewhere else. And you know, so I think recruiting is fun. It's interesting to keep up with, but it's true. You do see guys climb ladders ratings wise when you start to hear bigger schools mentioned. All of a sudden, they become, wow, this, you know, suddenly he's a four-star athlete, and suddenly he's sought after by a number of top schools. I've always thought one of the other interesting things, and some places do it, some don't anymore, is when you get a media guide from a particular school and it has the little capsules on each player, a lot of times they will say chose so-and-so school over, and then it'll mention four or five schools. Well, I've always thought that's, you know, kind of interesting, because I could say, yeah, I chose this over Michigan. Michigan may have never been interested in me,
exactly.
But I chose it anyway. It sounds good.
And at the same time, I mean, Rivals has been great to us, and they would counter, and rightfully so, that when you look at the top of the recruiting rankings, those are the teams that are usually at the top of the AP and sure. BCS rankings. Okay. So they've got there is some correlation there. Joe, just sort of segueing to baseball, we had Tim Corbett on yesterday, admitted that they've got to do a little homework on Middle Tennessee starting pitcher Kenneth Roberts, who's 10-1 and ERA of under 3, a control pitcher. But Tim admitted that they got to get a little bit of a beat on him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an outstanding player, and that's, we were talking yesterday about, that's what's so interesting in matchups now like this, where these are two teams, sure, they faced each other. They faced each other twice, but they faced each other against midweek pitching. Now you're going to get each team's best, and that changes things. And that's why a lot of teams, like an MTSU that has some good, solid starting pitching, can be very dangerous in a regional setting. You know, you don't have to win six or seven games. If you can win three, you move on. And so I think they're going to have a real battle in this one coming up. Also going to have a battle with Bryce Brentz. I mean, you know, look at this guy, 28 home runs, batting almost .500. It's scary how good he is. And for Vanderbilt, it's going to be an approach, I think, very similar to having faced a guy like Rich Poitras at Georgia or some of those guys, Kent Mathis at Alabama. Try to make somebody else beat you. Don't let this guy beat you, because he certainly can. And it's gonna be a really tough opening game.
We were talking about the SEC meetings earlier, and you know, for all the talk about the superstar coaches in the league, I have this vision of Bobby Johnson and Rich Brooks sitting in the back of the room just kind of taking it all in.
I'd love to have Bobby smuggle in like a lipstick cam.
That would be hysterical, wouldn't it?
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's become kind of comical. It really has. All the comments about the, you know, discussions between coaches and how you say things and how you shouldn't say things. And I'm sure you're absolutely right. Bobby and Rich Brooks and probably a couple other guys are just kind of sitting back in the back, taking it all in and watching everything else go on, and listen to the admonishment from the commissioner that will come in general to the entire group about, we've got to do things better, we've got to, you know, act better, present a better, you know, front. But it's I can't imagine being caught in the middle of some of that, seeing Bobby Johnson in the middle of a war of words with some other conference coach. That would be hysterical.
He used to talk smack on our show sometimes.
Well, absolutely. He'll get it up there once in a while for you. But
that was us talking smack.
That was it. Maybe you were impersonating him talking smack.
And you know that Slive gave them a collective rap on the knuckles.
Sure,
like,
all
right, boys, enough of this. Get out of the sandbox and act like grown-ups.
Absolutely what happened. There's no question about that, and that was probably necessary. Again, you know, and I've talked to Mike Slive many times. It's a very, very important focus for him, the perception of the conference around the country. When he came in, and you'll remember when he came in, half the conference was on probation. And a big focus of his was to clean things up. He's done that. He's done a wonderful job with that. But that's still always going to be foremost in his mind, how the conference is perceived among the rest of the nation.
That's Joe Fisher, who made his college choice over Harvard, MIT, and Duke.
Absolutely. It was not an easy decision.
Talk to you tomorrow, Joe.
All right.